The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
You might remember the other week television producer Bill Hughes was in on the programme talking about the current rise in HIV cases in Ireland. Well, towards the end of the interview, we chatted a little about his TV work, and he revealed that he had just sold the international rights to his cookery series Lords and Ladles, a format that he recently produced for RTÉ Television. At the time, I may be a little bit dismissive of Lords and Ladles. In fact, I even got the title wrong. And I, you know, whatever, you know, I've been parrying with Bill for 30 years in terms of the great stuff he's been doing, selling stuff around the world. But Paul Flynn, of the tannery restaurant in Dungarvan. Do you want to acknowledge to me?
Well, I was tutting at the time, all right, Dave. I must say, because you were utterly dismissive of anything got to do with food. And I must say that Bill, I love working with Bill and listening to Bill, and his font of knowledge is amazing about music and everything else. But he's a very, I don't need to tell you, he's a very successful man. But the food side of things, he definitely has an interest, of which I think you don't.
Okay, well, the funny thing is that 10 to 9, I heard a little kind of an ad on Morning Ireland saying what's going to be on this programme today, and something, blah, 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 in defence of television food programmes. Are you here to defend television food programmes? I'll put on the kettle, so off you go.
You see, there you go again. You know, look, the thing about it is that a lot of people have interest in food. I think from the moment I was, I don't know, since I was 14, I had a huge interest in food.
A lot of people have interest in food. The whole blinking world has interest in food. Yeah. These food programmes on TV are everywhere. And look at the figures, the people who watch them. I know about that.
But you want less of them.
No, it's not so much that. I tell you, okay, let me put this. Life is short. I don't have time for stuff. Now, I could easily say, and quote Bob Dylan here, don't criticise what you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I've never actually watched one, so I don't know what I'm talking about here.
Well, actually, a little birdie was talking to me in the canteen there while I was waiting, and he said that, and I said, it's going to be a bit of an uphill struggle. Me talking to Dave about food, and he said, well, he is not interested in food to the extent that when he goes for a Chinese meal that he gets somebody else to order for him. He said, just order me something nice. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, it's taking the pressure off. I totally
food
understand that as well.
Food isn't really my thing, you know. Yeah. So what? You know. By the way, having said that, I think there's two things that blokes should really do, that is learn how to cook and learn how to dance. It's amazing the doors that will open, because I can't do either. Anyway, let's just talk other things here. The Lords and Ladles, like, you know, obviously food programmes are absolutely huge. Massive amounts of people watch them. Obviously, Bill, very proud of the format. Selling was the objective from the start. It shows another side of Ireland, the Lords and Ladles programme. Or so I'm told. Tell me about that, and why do you like that part so much?
Well, I think the difference is that there's a parallel group of Irish people that have been in this country for hundreds of years, and they're the people in the big houses that certainly people like me don't get into. And the history, I'm very much into history, and I'm into food, and I'm into people, and I'm into, I suppose, crack. When you're putting a TV programme together, and I'm not teaching you how to suck eggs, that's for sure, but what you got to do is try and encapsulate as many people as possible and just boost the ratings. And I suppose when Bill was sitting down and said, right, what am I going to do to make a great TV programme? I have food, I have history, I have people, and that's what was clever about that. And above anything else, I spend all my time, I'm cooking since I was 17, I've just turned 50. That's a lot of onions.
Right.
And what it does is that, you know, you like getting out. I like getting out and about. I like meeting people, and I like doing something new, and that's the good thing. And it's also good for business.
You'd do this programme if it didn't have a food element, wouldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't be allowed out. Well, I would, yeah. I mean, I'd just get my tweeds and off I'd go strolling through the dewy grass with a half-cocked gun. That kind of way, and a dog.
Wow, I like
that. You like that?
Are you a poet in your spare time or something? Yeah. Okay, so basically in terms of just like getting yourself together, like you like to put the work into it, and you can face the day even if you give your time to a bit of breakfast. Is that it?
What do you mean? Just getting ready for the day?
Yeah, just like, you know, a nice bit of food in the morning, taking your time at it, and then get you through the rest of the day.
Not at all. I'm a chef. Like, the first thing we have to do is sort of, we get up, we we think about the day, often don't have breakfast.
Yeah.
And people have this idea that chefs go to markets and start strolling around and feeling lettuces and all. It's not the case. You're straight into the kitchen and you start cooking for people. Mm. It's a mad life. It's a funny thing, but it's the people who are into it really, really love it. It actually takes over your life.
Oh, of course. And what about the other one, by the way, Taste of Success? What's that all about?
Well, I was just filming that yesterday, and I'm a judge on that, and that was very successful last year. And I work with Lidl on their chef, and I love doing it. And what that's all about for me is bringing simple recipes and good food, good affordable food to people. But Taste of Success is something that there's a competition with a humongous prize, €100,000.
Yeah, Padraig McCarthy won it. What happened to him in terms of Series 1? How's he doing?
Well, I mean, really well. His product, which was a short rib, like a slow cooked short rib, product, and it really, really is doing well, and it's flying off the shelves, and he's a very happy man because of it.
$100,000.
A lot of money, isn't it?
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. By the way, you say you are part of, at least that you are, what, the brand ambassador for Lidl?
Yeah. Okay, I don't get a helicopter or anything.
It's like that, you know, they always say the proud sponsor. I wish somebody would come along and say, you know, I am the embarrassed sponsor of the Six Nations. Why are sponsors always proud? 51551. Anyway, so you are the brand ambassador. What does that mean? I mean, like, you know, you're very passionate about healthy, affordable family food. Lidl are a large multinational who may or may not have the same passion as you do. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that it's possible. How do you square all that? Is there any squaring needed?
Again, coming back to good food, and that's it. I mean, I suppose I spent all my life learning how to be, I suppose, a fancy chef. You know, when you're young, you want to be the best. And I went to London when I was 18. And, by the time I was 23, I was head chef of a 2-Michelin-star restaurant. And that's serious going. But then you come to a point in your life where you say, right, it's not about fancy food. It's about a bowl of soup or a sandwich or something that's really good for, you know, just for home and to encourage people to cook. Because what's happened over the last number of years is that people don't cook as much as they used to. And I have a cookery school and I love teaching people. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm here today and talking to you, is that, like, I have to promote my business because Lidl is one string to my bow, and the tannery is most of my life, to be honest with you.
Right, the tannery restaurant in Dungarvan. Is it fair to say that when you opened the tannery, or the school part anyway, that it wasn't really a very good time, was it?
No, I kind of went when it was buying the building. It fell off a cliff. Well, the whole property thing fell off a cliff, I would say, a couple of weeks later, literally. And, you know, I might have gone and said, would you like more money for that? And can I pay more money for that? And could I just lavish loads of money that's not my own on this premises? But look, that's you know, thankfully in the past, but it has absolutely determined the last 8 years of our lives, that's for sure.
Okay, when you say fell off a cliff or could have fallen off a cliff, are you talking about nearly going under? I mean, how tough has it been for the overall tannery business since?
Well, you know, when I speak for our own business, I'm speaking for a lot of small businesses as well. You know, when people lose their jobs, they're not thinking about coming to a restaurant, and I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about, I suppose, you borrow this large amount of money to do this wonderful project, and it is a wonderful project. The school that we have are very proud of it. But all of a sudden, your customers are halved. They're not coming in the door anymore, and you have 25 staff to pay, and what you're left with is, I suppose, panic stations. But there's lots of people in that situation.
Here's one from Mary at 51551. How do Lidl sell so cheaply? Do you use Lidl products in your restaurant?
No, I buy local as much as possible, is what I do. I mean, I have to stay, I suppose, have two approaches to my food. I mean, when they asked me to actually be the brand ambassador, what I wanted to do first and foremost is promote Irish food. And that is my premier job with them. But when it comes to my restaurant, you know, some people say, do you buy your produce from Lidl, which is absolutely wonderful produce, but I try and stay local as much as possible because I'm very, I suppose, aware of supporting local businesses in my town.
That's well, then, what getting I try back to do. The local business thing then, have you learned from all the adversity and how's the recession doing? Like, are you seeing any evidence of an economic recovery in Dungarvan?
Well, the first thing I would say is that during a recession, you become a better business person because you simply have to. Yeah. You cannot sit back for any single day and say, well, somebody will walk into me and spend money. It is not like that. You have to go out. I mean, that's why I'm here today. That's why, you know, I've done 4 cookery books and 4 TV series, and most of that is about bringing people into the tannery. I also enjoy it, but it's incessant work with the end result hopefully being people coming to us.
Well, 4 cookery books and 4 TV series with all these television programs and all the rest and the ads and the cookery school teaching, etc. Are you now a bona fide celebrity chef?
Oh, I see now. That's what gets me. Is some people think that if you're on the telly that you don't have a pedigree, you don't have a background, that you just were born to be on telly. And being on telly is something that I really enjoy, and I enjoy the interaction with people. And over the years, I suppose I've become more comfortable with it. But it's something that has happened later on, actually, in my career, that, again, it is all about business and, I suppose, becoming a persona that people think about when they visit. I want them to come to the tannery.
And is all of that good for business?
Yeah, it is. It's important for business. It really is. I mean, there was
There's
years
your man
and
off
years
the
ago.
Telly kind of thing. Let's go
that
here,
kind of way. Let's go here. Yeah. But then, of course, you have to make them happy. You have to do your job and make sure what you do is absolutely that you please them, and they will come again. I mean, years ago, I used to be asked to come up to Dublin and do the Today Show or like whatever it was at the time. You know, the afternoon show where they have a cooking slot, and it used to take like 3.5, 3¾ hours, and I turned down a few of those slots, not much to my regret, but you're talking about 7 hours out of your day to do and a 10-minute cookery slot, come back and cook in your restaurant. And that was hard going, but I did it many times. But there's also many times where you can't do it. We have
so
to
now
stay.
You've got the two series. So look, by the way, like, you know, if you have your own business over the last 8 or 10 years, were you in bed lying awake at night just saying, how am I going to get the damn customers in? Okay, good food is one thing. Did it ever, was there a eureka moment where you said, holy God, I really need to know about marketing as well?
Yeah, I mean, totally. If you don't, if you own a business and you're not aware of marketing, you're absolutely, you're on a losing streak straight away. I mean, fortunately, I have a very, very, very strong wife who absolutely runs the business, and all I do is turn up and cook, and that's nearly the truth. And I suppose I'm the face of the business as well. But when it comes to keeping things on the straight and narrow and all the things that you have to do in terms of paying staff and keeping, I suppose all the boxes ticked, you need somebody that you can rely on. That's something that I'm very appreciative of. But what you have to do as well is have an open mind. And people, I mean, say, for instance, years ago, this chef came down to me and he says, how come you don't do chips, Paul? And he had two restaurants up the north. And I said, well, you know, if I do chips, everybody will want them. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but that's what I said to him. Mm. And he says, we do 12 grand a year in each of our businesses selling chips. Well, I can tell you, chips are on the next day. But from that point, I started, you know, we have a downstairs area that we put on 2 years ago that only used to have couches, and people might have a cup of tea or coffee or have the odd cocktail there, but it never generated any money. Now we put in a tapas bar, we would do burgers and pizza. So we effectively run two businesses out of one kitchen, which we had to do very carefully because we have a good reputation. You know, we won Best Restaurant in Ireland 2013. Our cookery school won Best Cookery School in Ireland 3 times in a row.
What's so special about your cookery school compared to other ones?
It's got me in it. And I like to have the crack, and I love to interact with people and show people that food doesn't have to be complicated. You don't go away with certificates. You don't, it's not a case of you becoming a chef for a living. If you were, I'd have a chat with you and say, listen, stick to the kind of pleasurable side of food. And we have a 3-day cookery course coming up on September the 14th, which is, we only do it once a year, and it's a good gig. And myself and Michael Quinn, another chef, are doing it.
Hold on a second. We get these texts in every so often.
Yeah.
I've never seen you on television. I'm sorry, but when you walked in there, am I the only person there who doesn't know you? But hold on a second. The one here says, Paul Flynn is, like, Brent Pope was the same the other week. All the texts come, is he married? How's Brent? Give him my love, all this kind of stuff. I'm going, look at this guy build like a brick house. And I'm going, okay, fair enough. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Paul Flynn is a heartthrob. Is he married? Are you a heartthrob?
I never knew I was a heartthrob. And first, my wife would be delighted.
Answer that. Okay, so you are married.
You mentioned your wife three times now. I think you are.
Okay, Dave, I absolutely loved Lords and Ladles. It's kind of like saying, Dave, whatever, you stupid, ignorant idiot. It doesn't say that, but I can read between the lines. I absolutely loved Lords and Ladles. It was a brilliant program. I hope there will be another one from Sarah.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there is. I mean, the whole thing about TV is that you wait to see if the ratings are good, and then you wait for the phone call to see, do you want to do it again? But the funny thing is, I always seem to be the idiot in some of these programs, you know, which I don't mind being self-deprecating at all, because I'm quite serious about my job. But I ended up being in Westport House interviewing the owner of Westport House about her long lineage and her relation. She's a great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Grown Your Ale, and I'm on this plastic swan on a lake in front of the house that starts to sink. That kind of stuff happens to me. It's good crack, though.
Okay, I'll compute that one and come back to you tomorrow about that. I had a magnificent meal with my late husband in the tannery. I still dream of Paul's wild garlic dip, says Leslie.
Yeah, sounds,
I wonder if I read more into that than just... That sounds a bit odd.
I know, a bit early in the morning.
Moving swiftly on. Just finally, what was I going to say? You like music or something, do you?
Yeah, I love music. I love music. It's a very important part of my life.
And who do you like these days?
The National.
National?
Totally into the National. I'm a bit of a National groupie.
Oh, really? So which would it be? Alligator, Boxer, High Violet, or Trouble Will Find Me? Quick.
All. High Violet, actually. I love High Violet.
High Violet being the second last one. Very good indeed. Yeah. Have you seen the documentary Mistaken for Strangers?
It's fantastic. I've seen it about 4 times.
It's the weirdest thing.
What a brother.
Yeah, well, the poor guy in some ways, but fair play to him. But I'll tell you one thing. They're a dull band on tour, aren't they? They need to go out to a disco.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, I kind of like miserable music. I used to like the Smiths as well, and people used to take the...
No, the National are great. Have to tell you my darling late mother's reaction to her... that's the thing. I don't think we have time. Yeah, to her diagnosis. In her 80s, she had fallen into a black hole. This is from a previous item there, following my dad's death, and came back from her doctor's appointment to tell me great news. I'm suffering from depression. She was so relieved that this was something that could be fixed. Wonderful woman. Nicely put, Deirdre. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, it is time to go. So, good luck with all of that, Paul Flynn, as in the tannery in Dungarvan.
We'll have to get you down for a feed, Dave.
Feed, yeah, right, okay. And we'll see you on the, television coming to you soon.